number you have dialed has not been recognized. Please check and try again. Has not been recognized.
Guys, this is Ponyboy, and you're listening to episode number 27 of Belcore Radio. Actually, I'm going to start this out. I'm going to make a little surprise phone call to a friend of mine. He actually, Droops, you know, you guys probably know Droops. He was on episode 3, I believe, but he actually was just on BenRev Radio literally a minute ago. They got off the air. And I'm actually about to call him up right now. He doesn't know I'm calling or anything. So I'm going to call him up and see if I can get him on the show right now. So let's give it a try.
Hello?
Hey there, Droops.
Hey there, buddy.
What's going on, man?
About to go enjoy a cigarette.
Really? Well, you know what? I got a surprise for you.
What?
You're on Belcore Radio.
Oh, yay! So what's Belcore Radio?
It's this really gay show, but, yeah, that's why we're having you on tonight.
Sweet.
Oh.
Do we get to have homosexual intercourse?
No, but we will probably talk about it somewhere over the course of the night.
Awesome.
Yeah, I thought since I couldn't get on BenRev Radio, I thought I'd give you a call right now and see if you wanted to be on the show.
Well, speaking of homosexual intercourse, if you go to freaksandgeeks.com, is it?
Yes.
And watch that AT&T Fearless video, there is some homosexual intercourse in that video.
That's just...
I don't really understand it. Like, one minute you're watching AT&T commercials, and then the next minute you're watching guys have sex.
Yeah, by the way, I watched that when it first was released, all elite-like, and, I had to get new eyes after that. That burned my retinas out.
Like I don't understand.
It must just be one of those things, you know, those freaks.
Yeah. The next Infonomicon TV will definitely have homosexual intercourse in it.
Yes, of course.
Fortunately, there's not gonna be another one. But whatever.
Yeah.
So what's up with you, Cody boy?
I'm actually just sitting here getting ready to record some stuff. So
are you on? Are we live right now?
Oh yeah.
Even better.
I called you live on the air. So.
It's a good thing I didn't call you our pet name for each other.
Oh yeah. I wouldn't want anybody to know that you called me Honey Buns.
Why? Or Pony Boy? So what's happening, man?
Well,
big radio show. You got a topic?
Yeah, we got a couple topics. Well, I want to start it out. I got some housekeeping. And actually, I don't even think you knew about this contest. I used our presentation from InterZone, and
yeah, I wanted to talk to you about that actually.
Oh, you did?
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I put it up, or I put a link to it, or released a link to it on the last episode. And basically told anybody if they could find our secret hidden Easter egg, that, I'd send them some shit. Some
awesome.
Shit. And, a guy named FiberTap, from Canada, actually, found it. I'm not gonna say what it is, because that's just the most fun part about it, so. But he got it. And I'm sure Droops wants to keep people guessing on this as well.
Yeah, he emailed me and asked what it was, I told him.
Really? But yeah, so I'm gonna be sending him, and there was actually somebody else who sent something in, which I think it was something that we misspelled, I think intentionally. I can't really remember. We misspelled a lot of things in that presentation, I'm sure.
We misspelled gorillas.
I think that might have been what it was.
Yeah. But Mr. White pointed that out to me.
Yeah, but I'm gonna be sending him some stuff out too. So, yeah, I managed to snag a stack of InterZone stickers before the end of the con, so I'll be mailing a couple of those out to both of these guys.
Well, I actually have a stack of those also.
Well,
and I have some of the stickers from the previous InterZone, that they had a whole bunch of stickers. And if you conveniently use your scissors, you can chop off the bottom bit with the date, and it just says InterZone.
That would work.
Yeah. Did you snag anything else from the con?
No, I don't think so.
I stole a Cat 5 cable?
Yeah. Yeah, that's my Cat 5 cable, actually.
Yeah, I stole yours and Stay Dogs.
You're starting a collection?
I'm starting a little collection.
You gonna make a website, you know, Hackers Cat 5 Cables?
Yes. I'm actually working on a project of how to interpret the data that has gone through the Cat 5 cable. So, like, if you snag somebody, you can find out what all they've been doing, kind of, you know, like a key logging kind of thing. It's not really working out for me, but I'm trying.
How exactly are you working this?
Well, like, if you think about it, like, let's say you buy a garden hose, mm-hmm. and then you wash your car. Well, you turn it off, you know, leave the hose, whatever, and, you know, like a week later, there's still water in it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the principle.
Does it work that same way? I mean, would it still hold the...
Well, people think it doesn't, but I'm trying to see if it will.
I see.
I mean, it would open up a new area of hacking if figured this out.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds a little strange to me.
Well, I contacted Dig Media, their little Kevin Rose's company.
Yeah.
And they're looking at actually sponsoring this research.
I see.
So.
Well, I guess we need to take back all those bad things we've ever said about Kevin Rose.
Yeah, whatever. At least till we get his money. He's such an ass. Oh, Lordy. Anyway, actually, I'm not really working on that. I'm really working on trying to make Slasterisk run. This will be a live CD version of Slasterisk if anyone just listened to MidRev Radio.
Yeah.
I spoke about it.
Good stuff.
Good stuff. Pony Boy's going to help you with that. Because have you ever got asterisk going on anything?
No. Still haven't set up an asterisk box yet.
Well, as soon as this comes out, then I actually have a proof of concept. It does work.
Awesome.
I just haven't gotten it to work. I'm like, well, and as soon as I do, then you can help me with it.
Sweet.
Then you'll have your own asterisk on a CD wherever you go.
Yeah. But that actually is pretty... Are you, you don't happen to be by a computer right now, do you?
No, I'm actually making spaghetti.
Oh, okay. Well...
Hungry.
You can just kind of... You can just do some free thought on this, then.
Okay.
Some freak news that, is really kind of caught everyone by surprise again. You guys might remember a few, I guess, the last month, I guess it was? Or, no. Two episodes, actually, when, We told you guys about this whole AT&T Bell South buyout thing that's going on. And, you know, I made the comment of that leaves us with three major phone companies. Well, now it might not even be three anymore. Because, there's been rumors, and as far as I know, there's... still rumors. I don't think they've been verified yet. But, Verizon might be buying out Quest.
Ooh!
Which, yeah.
And then AT&T's gonna buy them all out?
That's what I think.
And then they're gonna get the cable TV business.
Yeah, I'm actually... That's something we're gonna cover a little bit later in the show.
And then if people don't want to get, you know, connected to their cable TV network, they're just gonna shut them out.
Yeah.
Okay.
There will be a small section of the country where all the people who don't have cable TV have to go live. And we'll call it Idaho.
Well, I'm actually working on, there is a independent phone company in a little town around here. And I'm trying to get a tour from them so that I can take some pictures for y'all.
Hell yeah. That would be pretty sweet, dude. What's the name of the phone company, do you know?
Ooh, it's in Bruce, Mississippi. And they have a website. You know, it looks like it was made in Front Page in, like, 98.
Yeah.
But, I'm interested to see. And I'm interested to find out the history of the company, to see, like, when they formed, and if they were ever approached by, you know, Ma Bell, or if Ma Bell was just like, it's fucking Bruce, Mississippi, who gives a shit.
I'm sure it was probably the second instance.
Like, they have three subscribers. I'm not really worried about them so much.
Their telephone poles are just wires strung on tree branches.
Infrastructure's not really there. But I'm interested to see, like, if they were interconnected, you know, back before the government said you have to.
Yeah.
And just kind of see. Because that would really suck if you lived in Bruce, Mississippi, and you could only call people in Bruce.
Yeah.
It's like, you can either call them on the phone, you know, and bother Glenda, the operator, or you just go outside and holler their name.
Stick your head out the window and tap on your neighbor's front door or something.
Go from trailer to trailer and just talk to them.
But, yeah, I mean, if you can get, you know, I mean, I'm sure it probably wouldn't be too hard to talk them into letting you check it out.
Oh, yeah.
So, that'd be
I'm
cool.
A telecommunications major at Ole Miss.
Hey,
you know, I see your stuff.
That line works for me, too. But, back to this whole Verizon Quest thing.
Sorry.
No, it's totally cool. I mean, that was a very, very interesting little side topic there. But, what I really thought was funny, and, you know, everyone knows, Quest has been, you know, going down the toilet for years. I mean, I don't even know how long it's been, since before I was really into phones, which is, you know, at least, you know, they've been in debt up to their eyeballs for a while. But, once the rumors started circulating that Verizon might be buying them up, their Quest stock jumped up like to $7 from, I think it was like around like $6, like $6.40 or something. So I mean, like they made a 22-cent jump, which is pretty good, you know, all things considered. Just because someone announced that they might not exist anymore.
Good times. You know, on Futurama, that happened.
Really?
Yeah, when they the 80s guy that was cryogenically frozen because he had bonitis. They, you know, he took over the company, and the stock was going up when Fry said that he was, you know, given the... He's like, I will, you know, given command of the company, and before he even announced who it was, the stock goes up. And then, you know, of course, the guy died of bonitis with his last regret of being that he had bonitis.
I guess, yeah, we can cover... I know there have been rumors going around for a while that they might be making new episodes of Futurama.
Yeah! Billy West is his name?
Yeah.
I announced it on his blog the other day. It's like 27 episodes or something.
Turns out they're not going to do that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I read about it on Slashdot, and I was like, hell yes. And then, like, a week later, there was another post that was like, well, Billy West is wrong. So... Yeah, they're apparently, I think, going to release all the episodes as a DVD or make a movie or something like that. I don't really remember. But, yeah, I was sad. I was really looking forward to 27 new episodes of Futurama.
Cartoon Network said, seriously, buy the rights to Futurama from Fox and make these episodes. Adult Swim would be that much cooler.
Yeah.
New Futurama. I try to watch at least one Futurama episode a day. I have archival copies on my computer. Mm-hmm. You want some spaghetti?
I'd love some, thank you.
It's good. We didn't have spaghetti sauce, so we just used some tomato paste, and we didn't have any Parmesan cheese, so we just used cheddar. And we really didn't even have noodles, we just used ramen. So pretty much it really tastes bad.
Yeah, basically it was just ramen noodles with cheese on top.
Tomato paste.
That sounds kind of bad, actually. Yeah.
Well, see, I bought a projector today. And whenever I buy something that's expensive, I have to eat ramen noodles. Because I don't save up for things. I just use the money that I would get to spend on something else. Like food, usually.
Yeah. You have to give up smoking for a month every time you buy something expensive.
Actually, I have a plan for that also. I deposit all my change in these little cups. You know, each one, like the nickels go in a cup. And I've been rolling dimes to buy cigarettes since I purchased cigarettes with today. Good times, good times.
That is good times. So, I just got a message from Mesa, and in about 10 minutes or so, we're going to be three-waying him in here, because I decided to just start recording. He's been trying to get on the show, and so we're actually going to have Mesa on the show this time.
Awesome.
For the first time in, like, a month now, I think it is.
Well, I tell you what I'm excited about. I'm excited about meeting Mesa at Nauticon.
Yeah, that should be pretty fun. I really need to finish my presentation.
Yeah. Well, I've decided, I'm at, like, 40-something slides now.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Now I'm, not just how to modify Slack, you know, and make modules and this, that, and the other. I'm going all out. Like, we're now taking a Slackware system and then installing the Live Linux scripts and building your own from your distro. Which I want to say is how the Backtrack guys do it.
Do you think you're going to be able to cover all this stuff in, what, like an hour?
No.
No?
No way in hell. I'm doing the basic stuff I thought about talking about in the beginning.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the talk. And then just see how it goes from there. So
yeah.
Pretty much I probably will end up just giving the talk later.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
anyone even cares.
Yeah, chances are they'll probably have somebody who can't make it out there, so they might be able to extend your time or something if you need to.
Yeah. I'm on Friday, so usually they, I don't know, we'll see. Maybe the guy after me will have a heart attack. You never know.
Maybe we can arrange something.
Nightlord's like, fuck.
Oh, is Nightlord after you?
No.
Okay.
I don't actually know who's after me. I don't even know what time I'm on.
Just sometime on Friday.
It's Friday after lunch.
Awesome.
So pretty much I can get drunk and then I can sober up. I might just be clicking the slides. It's like, everyone read it? And they're like, yeah. I'm just like, click.
Well, I've got some more news for freaks that we're actually going to save for a little bit until we get Mesa on here, because I think it'd be a good idea. But I got some other kind of interesting topics here that are... Of course, you know, it wouldn't be Belcore Radio without our talks about stupid file sharing and recording industry stuff. And, so we're going to do that now. But we're not going to talk about the RIAA. We're going to talk about the CRIA, which is the Canadian Recording Industry Association.
Eh?
Yeah, eh.
Sorry.
It's the CRIA. But basically, the CRIA did a study that, you know, I mean, they're basically, in all respects, they are the Canadian equivalent of the RIAA. You know, they have more.
So, do they cover like everybody, or is it just like Alanis Morissette and that skater boy chick?
That's a very good question. Probably
it's
only...
Celine Dion. She's Canadian.
Yeah, probably only related to Canadian artists, but...
It's like, no one cares. Let us warn that you're so out.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, basically, they are the RIAA in Canada. You know, they have the same kind of belief structure. They're all, you know, anti-file sharing, anti-peer-to-peer... You know, all this digital rights management crap. And they're all about it. But, they did this study about this kind of stuff. And, turns out that in their study that they released, they totally contradict, like, everything they stand for. Basically, the top people who download music from peer-to-peer stuff. The study showed that their top source of music for the 36% of the people in the study, their top source of music was actually CDs that they owned, that they ripped the music off of. So it wasn't like, you know, just, it wasn't that they used it. You know, they used peer-to-peer, and they did download music, but... The majority of the people who use peer-to-peer got their music from actually going out and buying it. Followed closely afterwards, actually, by people just downloading it illegally. But, and then, you know, there was, you know, like 8% of them got just, you know, stuff that their friends handed to them. Are you playing Alanis Morissette in the background?
What?
Are you playing Alanis Morissette right now?
Just random.
This is, okay. Well, I guess that'll be the...
Baby! Because the world goes down to... Baby, they get me by the time! Okay.
Anyway.
Whoa! This is what I like about Belfort Radio. It's the free formness.
Yeah. We need to start screening our calls or something.
You call me, bitch. Yeah. You need to not call my number, pretty much.
Yeah. But back to Canadian recording industry. Their study, like I said, it showed that the majority of people actually bought the CDs more so than actually just downloading music illegally. It showed consistently with most other studies that have been done about it that people who did download music on peer-to-peer stuff actually went out later and bought that same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, I think, like, 25% of the people said that they just download it. You know, they download it and they don't go out and buy it afterwards. Which is, you know, that's a pretty small amount if you really consider it. But,
What about you? You obviously download music, right?
I used to. I don't really do it so much anymore. I'll download open source or Creative Commons music and stuff that people are making and just releasing for free. But I don't really like. I'm not really big on peer to peer stuff anymore. I used to be, but you know, I mean, I was into it back when like Napster was the big thing, you know.
Well, I started when Scour.net was the big thing.
I see.
Which no one's ever heard of.
Yeah,
right?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Scour.net was before Napster.
I see.
In like 98.
In the ancient times of computing.
in days of long ago.
Yes. Days
well,
of long
like,
ago.
I download music, but I don't know. I quit buying CDs for a long time. Like, I just got so fed up, because you'd buy a CD, you know, with, like, your money you make when you're 15, and it's just crap. And not only did you only buy it for one or two songs, later you're like, this music is horrid.
Yeah.
Because you're just buying what's cool, and then all of a sudden it's not cool, you know? Like, MC Hammer is not cool ever. Anymore. But it used to be. Like, you can play, like, some Vanilla Ice, and it's still kind of cool just because it's funny.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not really something you ride around picking up chicks with.
Yeah. And, I'm waiting for that day when the music that people are listening to now, like, all this Black Eyed Peas crap, and I know I use Black Eyed Peas as a reference for, like, every time I talk about music I don't like. And it's because I absolutely despise the Black Eyed Peas. And I'm waiting for the day when people will, like, listen. They'll sit their kids down and they'll say, hey kids, you need to listen to this cool song that we used to listen to when I was young. And their kids are like, Dad, you're a fucking moron. You actually listen to this stupid shit? I don't know. And, I mean, you know what's gonna happen. Because I know I listened to a lot of stuff that was, like, that was really popular when my parents were, you know, my age. And it's horrible.
Well, I listen to a lot of classic rock.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really into, like, Pink Floyd. And Grateful Dead. I like the drum a lot. And, I usually, I don't know, there's not really an outlet where I live that'll play this for me. Like, they obviously play, the same four fucking Pink Floyd songs over and over and over.
Yeah.
But they don't play anything else. So, I'll download it, and I'll check it out, and I'll be like, hey, this is good. And I'm buying CDs of shit that I like.
Yeah.
And then it's immediately going to my iPod.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, to backtrack just a slight little bit, I was meaning to cover this, but it slipped my mind. But, what I've noticed when it comes to music, and, you know, like I was saying, I've listened to, you know, a lot of stuff that was popular when my parents were kids, and I thought, you know, I hear it and it's just retarded. And, but that's not to say all of it is, you know. Like, my dad was, you know, back in the early 70s or whatever, whenever he was, you know, with the classic rock and the Allman Brothers and all that good stuff. And, I really dig most of that music. But the thing about it is that when you have a new style of music, it's really, really good at the beginning. Because only, like, a few people are doing it, and they're, like, putting a lot of thought into what they're talking about. And then, like, you slowly progress into the point where it's just like, okay, we've done this, so now we need to do something that's like this, but have this really cool thing that people will remember us for. And it progresses like that until you get to the point where you've got a guy wearing pants made out of a parachute. Or, you know, people who... it's been like that for every style of music, you know, I mean, like, I listen to a lot of, new wave music, like Talking Heads and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I mean, like, early 80s, all the music from the early 80s, I love it so much. But then, like, you get to maybe, like, 85, 86.
It's a new offer.
Yeah. And it's just like, okay, so Talking Heads were like this kind of quirky little band. And people were like, okay, that's cool. So then other bands were like, well, we need to be this kind of quirky little band too. But we need to be even quirkier so people will like us even more. And it just keeps going like that until it's just like, you know, it's people who are passing off just acting like morons and passing it off and calling it like art.
Yeah. Pretty much, I have a rule of thumb with music, and if an artist, hold on, my phone's ringing.
I see.
Hello? If he can play a song that goes like 7-8 minutes or longer, they're probably pretty good, because if they suck, no record label will let them play an 8-minute song.
Yeah.
Like Led Zeppelin can play an 8-minute song. Like, you know, you look at all these little things, and, you know, the top 10 songs ever. Most of those were a 3-minute song that fit into the mold that the recording industry wants people to record into. Because that mold works really, really good.
Yeah.
If you're really not an inventive musician, you know, if you can play your shit and dance right, that mold works great for you.
Yeah.
And they'll make a lot of money. But if they had done that to Led Zeppelin, Led Zeppelin wouldn't have made good music. Like
they wouldn't have been Led Zeppelin, really.
Can I tell you an interesting story?
Sure thing, man.
Awesome. I listen to a lot of NPR podcasts. And there was one on the other day, and they were interviewing this guy who had gone to Iraq and Afghanistan several times as a news journalist. And he's an audio, like a radio guy. And he was talking about the equipment that he brings with him, which is really interesting. I'll see if I can dig that up. I need to put that on the Phenomicon, because that was just cool. Just like, you know, like, battle tough recording shit. You know, what he will bring with him, because you can't get replacements. And then he was talking about where he went to high school, and his school was called the Success School, which was like a school for wayward youth.
Yeah.
And they were founded sometime in the 70s, and they decided in true democracy, they would let the students name the school. And then in true democracy, they did not like the name the students picked out and named it the Success School. Because that's how democracy works. There's a thing called the Golden Rule. Who has the gold? That person makes the rule.
Yeah.
But the kids wanted to name it Led Zeppelin High. That would be fucking awesome to go to Led Zeppelin High School.
That would be a really cool name for a school.
And I found out about the Talking Heads. Like, I've heard of them. Not really into them. And then a friend brought a movie that they made. Or David... How do you say his name?
David Byrne.
David Byrne made. Which is called True Stories. Which is an awesome little flick. And he wanted to make an illegal copy of it. And I ended up watching it and said, hey, this is good. And now I'm looking into purchasing Talking Heads stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty good stuff, you know, if you're into that kind of music.
Pretty much if I can drive a long distance and listen to it, it's good.
Oh, yeah.
I'm into road trip music.
I have troubles listening to Talking Heads because I get into that kind of music when I'm listening to it. I like to just kind of Especially in my car. I don't know why. But I like to dance in my car. And that gets really bad when you're driving your car and you're concentrating more on the music than you are when you're driving. So, I kind of had to cut back on listening to them when I'm actually driving my car. So.
I used to get that way with Widespread Panic. Really into that with Widespread Panic. And in fact, when I was a wayward youth, I was listening to some Widespread Panic after being at the bar a lot that evening. And I had a wreck because I just started dancing and singing. And I no longer drove. Truck still moved, you know, right to the tree. But, I wasn't in control.
Yeah. Well, I think Mesa is ready for us to, three-way him in real quick.
Let's do it. Let's three-way, man.
I'm gonna flash over real quick and call him up and find his phone number before I do any of that. I'll be back in just a second, George.
Okay, buddy. What you doing, Kurt?
Yeah, girl, what you doing?
Kurt,
Hello?
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hey,
hello.
You're on Belcourt Radio, buddy.
Awesome.
Yeah, we started recording. That's why I was telling you that I had to get you on right then.
Hey, you know. Awesome. So who is this other person that I'm speaking
to? I'm actually the new co-host. My name's Droops. You're the guest.
Oh.
Sorry, I decided that just a second ago.
Well, I'm kicking your ass off and I'm the host again. Sorry, dude. I gotta keep my status up there, you know?
Yeah. Before we go on, I want to take a second because I just got an instant message here from Dual Parallel. And he's apparently drunk, so I want to give big shouts to Drunk Dual Parallel. And that's all. Okay, now we can move on with the show. Before you got here, Mesa, we basically covered, or we started talking about this Verizon buying out Quest thing. Sort of talked about it, but we got kind of distracted. But I definitely wanted to get you on here before we talked about this second thing in the freak news. So, if you want to backtrack there with me, Droops, are you in the show notes, Mesa?
Yeah.
Awesome. Basically, I thought this would be a cool topic to cover. I came across this article posted on Slashdot or something that asked, you know, what's next in telecommunications? And, it really made me think, you know, like, basically the point of the article is saying that, since, you know, I mean, they're so, you know, since there's these big cable companies, like Comcast and, Time Warner and Cox Communications and all that good stuff, since they're starting to offer, you know, they had their cable TV, and that was cool, and now they're doing their cable internet, and a lot of them are starting to offer, you know, digital phone service. And, the point of the article was saying that what's really going to be the next big thing for the telcos is, because they got to find a way to keep their customers, you know? I mean, I can honestly say from firsthand as a person who is more or less, not me per se, but the rest of my family, which I live with, are, you know, they're not phone freaks. You know, they personally, I would love to, you know, stay with Bell South or AT&T or whatever it will be soon as my phone provider. But my family, on the other hand, is like, hey, you know, we get all this other stuff from Comcast, so let's just go with them so we only have to deal with one company. And a lot of people are starting to do that. And, so what this guy who wrote the article here, or actually this lady who wrote the article here, is saying is that the next big thing is that telcos are going to start trying to get into the TV business.
which I can see happening, you know, because, I mean, that's really the only way that they can entice people to stay with them.
Yeah, I'm not sure, you know, officially about this, but I heard something of Bell South and DirecTV getting together and doing something with that also.
Well, they're already tying the bill in, so you only get one bill for both companies. Kind of cross-promoting each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I heard something about it, but I never, you know, really looked into it because there was really no point.
I mean, I don't know. I thought it was kind of interesting, especially with the fact that they're really, like... I mean, if you think about it, after, you know, Bell South and AT&T become one giant, ugly entity, and, you know, if Verizon does buy out Quest like they're talking about, I mean, that... There will be so much, you know, so much, I guess, power behind the phone companies. You know, they will... It won't be like a fragmented thing so much anymore, to where it's like, you know, this phone company's going to offer this, and this phone company's going to offer this. There will be so many people working under one company that I really think they could, you know. I think that, you know, I think if AT&T buys out Bell South, they'll more or less have, you know, the entire southern half of the United States, except for, you know, the... few random Quest states that are down there in the Southwest.
And Bruce, Mississippi.
Yes, because Bruce, Mississippi Telecom is... They're going to take it all over. But, yeah, I mean, like, I think that with these big mergers that are planning and with the amount of customers they're going to have underneath them, I really think that they could really... You know, make this kind of move and really start putting a lot of really cool concepts out there now. You know, I mean, they can start offering this TV service if they want, but they can start off. I mean, there's an infinite amount of other kinds of services they can start to offer. You know, I'd love to see AT&T once they get all these Bell South customers under them. I'd love to see them start offering. You know, like, start trying to offer some Wi-Fi stuff. You know, like, just a wireless network you still have to pay to get on. You know. Okay, who's making that noise?
Not me.
Anyways... I'm not the only one who hears that, am I?
No, I heard it.
Okay. Mace, are you jacking on the show?
No, of course not.
I'm not going to ask what that exasperated sigh was right at the end there. Oh, no, not anymore, I'm not.
I gotta get some tissue, you know.
Yeah.
I ran out.
But anyways... I don't know, what do you guys think about this? I mean, like, what can the phone companies do to, you know, try and keep their customers? You know, what would you want to be offered?
Well, I'd say the one thing they're not going to offer is they're not going to offer less money.
Yeah.
The phone company's idea of charging you less money is to give you more features. And then just not charge so much for them. So, like, they're like, hey, we want to save you money, and then your bill ends up being, you know, $10 more a month.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's definitely an obvious one there. You know, I mean...
I was actually called by the phone company the other day. They woke us up, and they said, you know, the guy tried really hard. I even told him he tried really hard. But he wanted to save us some money. And I said, I'm not really interested, and he just kept going. And I said, look, man, the only thing we have this phone for is to get DSL. And if y'all would unbundle that, I would love to have it. But the only people that call us are annoying Bell South telemarketers. And he said, you know, we have a service that'll block that. And if you pay... And I was like, so I get to pay them some more and they won't call me every day.
That is one of the funniest things I've ever heard.
So I told the guy he tried really hard. Like, I had a good time with him.
The trick behind it is that, you know, if they annoy you enough, then you'll just, one day you'll just give up. And you'll say, fine, here, I'll pay the extra, you know, I'll pay the extra $10 a month on my bill. Just stop calling me.
So they really ought to offer a service where whenever they come up with something new, they just add it on your bill without even asking.
Of course.
I mean, that would really be what they want.
Yeah, no verification that you actually want, you know, the $15 a month charge to, you know.
Well, they could verify it by, like, if you accidentally press the key, like, one on your phone, that would say, yes, I want this extra charge.
Just at any time in owning
your
phone.
So you pick it up,
phone.
And you're like, 1, 225, 635. It's like, oh, you wanted the extra charge.
That would actually be a really, sly little trick if they implemented something like that.
Or where you just answer the phone call and it automatically charges you anyway,
yeah.
So you verified it.
Well, if you notice, the phone company sometimes has trouble with billing, where they're like, you know, well, there's an error, you know, we charged you extra. You know, it's never, ever, ever, I've never heard of it. They had an error and saved somebody money.
Yeah.
And then they have these practices where if you say, oh, I've charged extra $10, you'll just give up because you spend 2 hours trying to get that $10 taken away. It's like, it'd just be cheaper to pay it.
Yeah, because in those 2 hours that you're sitting there on hold, they're charging you at the ass.
And they're giving you commercials. They're like, new, go sell this. New, go sell this. And they're like, I don't give a fuck. Anyway, I'm sorry.
No.
I really just can't stand Bell South.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I don't deal with them enough on a business level, since, you know, we do go through all Comcast for most of our shit. But, I'm gonna miss Bell South. I really am. I mean, I'm sure, you know, once they switch over to AT&T, you're still gonna be getting those same damn calls. But,
well, correct me if I'm wrong, but I had a discussion about this the other day with a friend. And he had just recently come back from SBC area.
Yeah.
And he said they're doing more things than Bell South. Like, Bell South doesn't ever come out with anything new that's cool, neat, you know?
Yeah.
They're just like, fuck it. Like, it's like, I need DSL, I don't get it in my house. They're like, too fucking bad.
Yeah.
And SBC is being aggressive, and they're trying to, you know, extract as much money as they possibly can from their customers.
Yeah.
And if that means providing DSL to more more customers, they do it.
Yeah.
And that would be really nice for Bell South to, like, care.
That's actually what I'm kind of looking forward to in this merger that's coming up. Is I'm really looking forward to a company that will actually, you know, because I have heard a lot of stories like that, you know, where Bell South really is just like, hey, here's what we're going to give you, and we're the phone company here, so if you don't like it, then whatever.
Yeah, go to Bruce.
Yeah, drive 5 states over and settle there somewhere. But,
Bell South, I deal a lot with their internet services, and we were working for a company that wanted to set up a VPN, so, you know, we have to buy a static IP address and which I think comes with the really expensive business DSL package. So both of them had a static IP address. It's really easy to set up a VPN when you have two static IP addresses, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, neither one of them could ping each other.
Yeah.
From my house, I could ping both of them. And for both of them, I could ping my house. But neither one of them could ping each other. Because Bell South didn't really want to do that. And I think they had a charge if you wanted to be able to do that.
I have a charge for everyone.
They do.
Like, why the fuck did I have DSL with a static IP address?
Yeah.
I didn't want to, you know, like, fucking use my static IP address.
Yeah, is it Bell... I'm pretty sure it's that Bell South does. I'm not sure about the rest of them, but isn't it that Bell South they'll charge you to get the static IP, and then they either just won't allow you to have any kind of file server, or they want to charge you extra to host a file server from your on your IP. I can't remember if it's Bell South that does that, or if it's another company.
Well, I have Bell South DSL, and you remember I used to have a server, and they didn't block anything. Like, it was completely open. I could do whatever I wanted.
Yeah, I can run a web server on port 80.
Okay, maybe I'm thinking about a different phone company then. Because I could have sworn I was talking to you about it at Interzone, but maybe I was talking to somebody else about that.
I don't know.
It's not going to matter, Sam. They'll all be the same phone company.
Yeah. That's how the business world goes.
The worst part about the whole Bell South takeover is that the guys that are in charge of Bell South right now are going to make an assload of money, and they're the guys that are making all these decisions where they just keep fucking us,
yep.
And they're about to make more money.
Yep.
And that's the worst part about it.
I agree.
So,
I mean, they're making an assload of money right now, and then just buying...
Well, the average DSL customer costs Bell South $2 a month. Why do I give them $50 a month when it only costs them $2?
Well, is this like a takeover or just a merger?
They are actually buying Bell South.
Isn't that weird? Because, okay, AT&T Mobile and Singular merged. But then...
Well, AT&T Wireless wasn't AT&T.
It was a whole...
It was a separate company.
Like, no. Well, was it apparently was associated with AT&T somehow, so. Right?
Yeah, somehow it was, I'm sure. But it wasn't...
The same guy that owned the stock in both of them, put it that way.
Yeah, it wasn't technically part of AT&T, but I'm going to say probably somehow the money got to the same people.
Yeah. Whatever, like, it doesn't really matter, so... Whatever.
Those bastards.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just jelly.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe you're like, yeah, they're just making more money than I am right now.
I'm sure if I was the phone company and somebody was like, look, we really need DSL out here, I'd just be like, you know, I don't fucking feel like doing that like that. Fuck you.
Yeah. You're like,
and then they'd be like,
no,
God damn it,
to...
Droop South.
Maybe we should start our own phone company. That's what we really need.
Well, with that live Linux CD, or that live Astro CD, you can.
No, I mean, we need to build our own hardwired, not going to piggyback on anybody else's phone networks. I'm talking, we got to run copper directly from my house to your house to Mesa's house, and we'll make a, ooh, I don't even know, we'll have to think about a name for that one, because it's got to be a really elite sounding name.
We can call it Bellcore.
Oh, shit.
Bellcore Telecommunications.
I think that's already copyrighted, but...
What? Oh, damn it. What?
Absolutely. We can call it Ma Bell, because Ma Bell is actually not a copyright.
Well, there you go.
It's not a trademark, it's not anything.
It was just a nickname, so...
It's a nickname.
There you go. That's what we'll call it. We'll have all the freaks in America...
Now, are we going to do, like, a mesh, or are we going to do, like, a star? what kind of network topology are we going to use?
That's a very good question.
What's the one where everyone has a line to everyone else? Let's do that one.
Yeah.
So if one person goes down, then everybody else goes down with it.
No. Like, I have a line to every other customer, direct line.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, so basically,
so every time,
like,
we add somebody, we have to add... whatever number of customers we have, plus one wires.
Yeah. Eventually we get so many customers that all this copper running out of our houses in opposite directions makes just kind of covers up the sun, and we live in darkness.
Whatever, I live in darkness now.
See, hackers like darkness, so there you go.
Hey, it'll work out perfectly.
will convert everyone else over.
Unfortunately, we'll all
be like, we refuse to interconnect to fucking AT&T. Fuck you.
Unfortunately, we'll all be stuck with dial-up, but... we'll be stuck with dial-up to each other's houses.
we can call it PBSs. And have bulletin boards on our houses.
There you go.
Oh, is going to work out really well.
Who needs the internet when you've got all the hackers in America interconnected like this?
FidoNet was kind of like that. Like, that was all done over telephone. I think it's still done all over telephone. I don't know. I'm just talking out of my ass now. I have a funny story.
Go ahead, man.
I'm cleaning out my room, and I have all these keyboards. Because every time I find a keyboard, I'm like, oh, I can use that for something. And then I never do, because they all suck.
Yeah.
So, like, let's see, I've got a digital keyboard. I have one that looks like a IBM Model M, but it is not. I have another one that looks like an IBM Model M, but it isn't. I have some Apple keyboards. I have all kinds of shit. And I have an old Model M with no keycaps. And I'm going to stress test all of these. And, like, I don't know if y'all are familiar with the IBM Model M, but it's the keyboard that you can beat somebody to death with while you're typing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to see really how tough this thing is compared to crappy keyboards.
I'm going to say probably a lot tougher.
Like, yeah. I'm really going to drive over the keyboard and then see if it'll still type.
We'll do it and let us know what happens.
Well, I'm going to videotape it, I think.
Oh, well, even better.
Maybe you can release that as Infernomicon TV.
I'm really looking forward to getting drunk and doing this.
Everything is better when you're drunk.
And then I was thinking, if we're doing that, we might as well stress test some machines. You know, with, you know, the truck driving over. Because, like, a modern computer is not really built as well. You know, high quality, built to last, like an old computer.
No, definitely. I remember we found this old Tandy computer. And had the monitor and everything. We dropped the monitor from a 3-story building and it didn't even... It had, like, just had scratches on it. No dents, just scratches.
Oh, yeah.
And then we took the actual computer and threw it off and it did nothing. It looked just as good as it did when we found it.
Well, it's really interesting. You could find, like, an IBM PS2 and they all still work. And that's, you know, 1989, maybe? 88? And then, like, a computer you bought a couple years ago has got something broke on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you take a new computer and throw it off a building, and it's going to break.
Definitely. It's because it's not made, like, you have to remember, cases in, like, the early 90s, late 80s were made out of, like, wrought iron. Like, they ripped apart sides of Navy ships to build these cases.
Seriously, you could run them over with, like, a semi or something, and it wouldn't even phase it at all.
Well, I'm going to try that, because I've got some old. Like, I hate to throw them away, because, like, that IBM PS2 that I've got sitting right here on my floor that I've never really used other than to make sure it worked, I will definitely use it for that. That's a good reason to destroy it and get it out of the house.
Yeah. I'm sure your wife will be very happy.
I wonder if they can take a bullet.
That's a good question.
Turn it on and then shoot it?
Try that. I can... No, I'm not even going to say. I'm pretty sure none of them will survive that.
Well, they might be able to take, like, a shotgun. That's not really as much power as, like, a pistol.
I could take a rifle. I have a rifle.
That's what I will do this week, because I have no money. I might as well break stuff.
I love breaking stuff. Breaking stuff's fun.
We'll call it Delcor TV.
There you go.
Yeah. I'll hold my phone the whole time.
Just holding the phone and shooting computers. We'll call it the great Delcor Computer Slaughter of 2006.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, that's a perfect place, too. We could, like, destroy stuff here, where I live. It'd be perfect. You know where I live, homeboy. It's out in the middle of, like... Well, not really. It's not really around that many people, so...
You can destroy stuff and blow stuff up and nobody will care.
So yeah, Droops, you need to drive out here to Georgia.
Okay.
And, we'll, you know, drag a computer behind you the whole way to see how well it fares. And, we'll do some tests on the computers when you get over here.
Well, how about since I have the computers, why don't y'all just drive over here?
Yeah. We could do that.
But we'd rather you drive here.
Yeah, it's not really.
I was just over in Duluth.
Yeah.
Then you wouldn't mind coming over again. Whatever.
Speaking of, you were supposed to call me when you were on your way back through here.
We actually didn't come back that way.
Oh, okay.
We went down to Savannah.
Oh.
I don't
really like Savannah.
Downtown Charleston's really slick.
I do like downtown Charleston. Downtown Charleston is nice.
It's like Old South, and it's real pretty.
Yeah, I can't believe those houses survived all those hurricanes, though.
Well, they built them better back then.
Yeah, that is true.
Like, behind the drywall, there's something.
Oh, dude, it's like the cinder blocks, man. Like, two layers of them.
Well, like, our house, like, behind the drywall, you can't just punch it and put a hole in it. There's wood throughout the whole thing. It's old, and it's been here for a long time.
Well, I mean, these houses are, like, right on the waterfront, so I'm just surprised they didn't get blown away, but that's off topic.
So, to get back on...
Sorry.
On, yeah. We got way off topic there.
It has nothing related to anything we were talking about.
I understand that you had a game you wanted to review, Mesa?
Oh, yes. Okay, so I've been waiting for this game for like 4 years, man. It's the longest time for waiting for a game. But I pre-ordered it about a year ago, and I finally got it this morning. I don't know if anybody's familiar with the Elder Scrolls series. Either one of you?
Never heard of it.
How about you, Troops?
No.
Okay, well, it's this RPG series that was started back in 94. It's like for DOS. And I've been playing them like ever since I got a computer because my friend introduced me to them. But this game is one of the most visually stunning games I've ever seen in my whole entire life. Like, the detail in the game and the graphics in the game, the realism, it just... amazing. I mean, this is the best looking game I believe I've ever seen. I mean, this puts, like, all these newer games and stuff that I've played to shame. And it's pretty hard. You have to have a pretty powerful computer to be able to play it, but if you have a computer that can play it, then I would say it is very much worth your money to get it. If not just for, you know, looking at those pretty graphics, the storyline is pretty in-depth also. So, yeah, I mean, I can't really say much more than it's, like, one of the best, if not the best, games I've played ever.
And so this is just, it's like a fantasy role-playing type thing?
Yeah.
Hey, what was it called then?
It's called The Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion.
Okay.
Yeah, see, I'm not, like, that big of a game person, but I do, like, you know, play games sometimes when I have free time, when I'm not, like, spending time doing something else, you know, like, with a girlfriend or working or whatever, so. But, I would definitely recommend getting this game.
Awesome.
Even if you're not, like, that big of a gamer, I would still definitely recommend getting it.
Well, it sounds like a pretty fun game.
It is, actually. I got the collector's edition, so booyah. Bitches. Yeah. That's all there's really to say. I really haven't had that much time to play with it, so. But for now, it's been pretty damn awesome.
Awesome.
Sweet!
Yeah.
Kick ass.
Fucking A.
Holy bejesus.
Anyways, yeah, you guys got anything else to talk about?
Well, I actually, have been downloading for like a day and something, a VisTorrent file. It's this thing called Mini PE. And I just put it in my computer and booted it up, and I came in here and it kind of scared me because it's never actually run. I thought about this as I booted up, that this computer's never actually had Windows anywhere near it.
Oh,
and now it's got a start button.
Yeah.
Wait, PE, is that the thing where it uses so you can like recover like after hard drive crashes and such like that?
Yeah, it's PE. I think it's pre-install environment. I think is what the official what the PE stands for. But yeah, maybe
yeah,
PE.
Yeah. I use that. You remember when my hard drive got screwed up over the weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah, I use this thing called PE Builder, and it took it and I actually recovered a lot of stuff. I didn't get to recover everything, but I recovered most of it.
Yeah. Mini PE is basically like someone used PE Builder and just made their own customized pre-install environment. And basically, it's the shit. Like, they put so much... Actually, it's kind of overkill with the amount of stuff they put on here.
Well, the reason I got it was to see what all I had on there.
Yeah.
Because it might have something I might find handy in my Windows life.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's got a lot of really cool stuff on it, but, like, it seems like it has almost too much stuff, you know? Like, it's got a lot of cool, like, data recovery tools, which, you know, Mesa probably could have used. But, like, it's got, like, 15 different data recovery tools on it. And, like, I was looking through it, and I thought about it. At first I was just like, oh my god, 15 data recovery tools, I need this disk now. But,
it actually has, 14. And then a data forensics thing. I guess that would consider 15. But there's, like, 5 different data forensics things.
But, it's like,
Hey, just real quick, Tiny Boy, get an IRC and accept that file, please.
Oh, okay.
Thanks.
But, yeah, I mean, it's like, It seems like overkill to me, you know? It's like, you know, I really only need one data recovery file. So if you want to, like, you know, I mean, I'm sure some of them have, you know, a functionality that another one doesn't have. But, you know, if you want to just put one on there that's really good, and, that's all I'm really going to need. It looks like the connection failed, troops. But, yeah, I mean, like, I really think what the big issue was, because I think it was just a guy who was putting it together, and he was like, you know what, I think I'll put all this stuff on here so that I look, like, extra cool. But, I mean, like, there's just too much stuff. Like, I will never be able to use all the stuff that's on that CD.
Sounds interesting. I wish I had that before.
Yeah.
Before I basically lost most of my important stuff, but...
You didn't need all that shit anyway.
Yeah.
I wish I felt the same way. But yes. Interesting indeed. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, it's definitely cool. If I can find, or actually, Droops would probably be able to drop you a link to it later on after the show, but it's definitely worth checking out if you can find it. But so yeah. Anybody else got me anything cool here?
What about you, Mr. I come late to the show?
Yeah, Mesa. Why don't you tell the people? I mean, it's been, what, been 3 weeks since you've been on the show. So, what have you been doing?
Oh, man, everything. Working my ass off, basically. Working my ass off, girlfriend. And then, with your schedule, you know, it kind of clashes, Tony Boy.
Yeah.
But, we gotta set up something, you know, so it's a sort of a regular sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, I think we should be able to work it. So, so that we can actually get things done and whatnot.
Yeah, I know I told everybody that I'd be on the show more often. They're probably calling me a liar, but they can go kiss my pillow-like scrawny ass. I'm just kidding, listeners. I love you all. But, yeah. Hopefully, if we can work something out, I'll be on the show more often again, like back in the old days.
Awesome, man. Because, yeah, I know, Velcro Radio is just not the same with just one person. And, I mean, like, I don't know, it just doesn't work right. I can't hold a show for this long. I need you or other people to get on the show more often.
Well, I'll be here. I'll hopefully, you know, like I said, once we get back into the routine and everything, you know, be a regular co-host again.
Awesome.
So, and then I'll have more of the stuff I talk about, like hack of the week and whatnot.
Hey, off the top of your head, anybody got a hack of the week?
Wait, hold on, give me a second.
Excellent.
Thinking. There was something I was going to talk about. Hold on, wait. It's right on the top of my head. Damn you, Pony Boy, for putting me on the spot.
All right, well, Mesa thinks, Droops, why don't you sing some more Alanis Morissette?
Oh, actually, did you ever accept that file?
Yes, I did, but it failed again.
Are you accepting both times?
Say what?
Okay.
Yeah, I accepted it, but it just failed again.
Okay. Well, let me play it then.
Okay.
While he's thinking. Are you ready?
Awesome. That's not coming through at all, just to let you know.
Do you recognize this song?
It's not I can't hear it. It's not coming through.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, God.
Huh?
It's like Skater Boy.
No, he was a Pony Boy.
Really now?
Yeah, that was... The girl didn't like that.
Oh, yes, okay. I thought of something... It's not technically a hack, but it's more of a, like a warning of not what to do. Because I can't really think of anything off the top of my head. But, never... Try to mod like stuff on your iPod when you really have no idea what you're doing. I killed my iPod.
You killed your iPod?
I killed my iPod. It didn't. Like I was like trying to write software for it, right? I was like, okay, you know, I think it'll work. So I put it on my iPod, and my iPod died. And it won't even, like, it didn't even turn on anymore, so I had to send it back, and I'm supposed to be getting a new one.
Awesome.
I just played stupid, and they're like, you know, because if you play stupid, you know, and act like, you know, don't know what happened, they'll usually send you a new one, of whatever it is. So just like, yeah, I don't know what happened, I just tried to turn it on, and it just wouldn't turn on. I did everything the site told me to, and they're like, okay, well, we'll send you another one. I'm like...
Yeah, I hooked it up to my computer, and I think some hackers did something.
Yeah, I think some hackers tried to get to my iPod. I don't know what happened. But yeah. This sucks.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Also, actually, I just thought of something. This is also really technically what you consider a hack. But, I don't know if people recall about converting videos for your iPod.
Yeah.
Well, if you go to the same place that I told you that, search on Google for Videora, V-I-D-E-O-R-A, PSP converter. They have some really, really nice software that'll take, like, DVDs or AVIs or whatever and convert them into the right screen size, and you can change the bit rate and sound quality and stuff like that for it, and it'll make it for your PSP, and it's really, really nice because, you know, they have a lot of, most movies aren't out for PSP, so you can take whatever movie you want. I've got movies down to like 100 megs for the PSP with pretty good quality.
Awesome.
So just remember, Google Videora PSP converter, and it should be like the first link, first couple of links up there. Really nice software, really easy to use, user friendly. If you can't use it, then no, stop listening to Velcro Radio because you don't deserve to listen to us.
Well, no, see, that's completely opposite of why we exist.
You're not understanding the simplicity of this software.
It doesn't matter. We need to teach the people. I mean, I'm sure most of them know, but that's the point. That's the point of being a hacker, is to figure it out.
I retract my statement.
Well, why don't you teach us something, Mr. Ponyboy?
I don't know anything.
Wait, I got to finish retracting my statement. I retract my statement, and I say, if you need help with it, then email us at belcorradio@gmail.com.
That's right. Or droopsisanoob@gmail.com.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I think that's probably going to be all the time we have. We're actually about 15 minutes over our normal time limit. So, you guys got any shouts you want to give out?
I want to shout out everyone that's linked to off of infonomicon.org.
Excellent. Especially Ponyboy.
Especially Ponyboy.
I really have nobody to shout out to.
Nobody?
Nobody.
Alright. Well, I want to give some shouts to, I gave him shouts on the last episode of the show, I think, but, I'm going to give shouts to Blackjack, because, he hooked me the fuck up. I'm holding in my hands right here, I'm going to slap it a little bit so you guys can hear. Right there, that was the sound of my new tablet PC. Not totally sure why he decided to give this to me, but a guy named Blackjack sent me an email a couple weeks ago. I tried to call some numbers that he gave us on the show, but some issues happened. But yeah, he was like, here, I got this tablet PC if you want it. And so he drove to my local hacker meeting and gave it to me.
Nice, nice.
Yes, and it's very fucking sweet. And, yeah, it's my new favorite computer. Like, it really is. So I wanted to give massive shouts to Blackjack for the tablet PC and the barcode scanner. And, I think that's it. Yeah. That about does it. Oh, shouts to Drunk Dual Parallel again. Because he actually just messaged me, like, right then, and it told me to give him shouts on VCR.
Excellent.
But, yeah, so that's going to wrap it up for this episode of Belcore Radio. Be sure to check it out next week as well. I should have gotten... We didn't get a show for you guys to check out, so I'm going to go ahead and say check out... I don't know, what's a good radio show, guys? Quick. Yeah, check out Taunt Radio. Taunt Radio is good stuff. TWATech.org. I think I'm supposed to have an episode coming up soon.
You're actually going to be on it tonight.
Oh, damn. Well, then I might have an episode coming up a lot sooner than I thought. So yeah, check that out. And until next time, guys, keep hacking, keep freaking, and keep having fun. This has been Ponyboy,
Mesa, and Droops.
And this is the end of file.